Amen. Well, we are going to have a message today that would apply to moms, but also to dads and to grandparents and really to all Christians, because we're going to be talking about wisdom, and in particular about godly wisdom. And certainly godly wisdom is needed to rear children. However difficult it was in my day to rear children, you could just multiply that by some factor, I'm sure a large factor, and it's more difficult today than ever before because of all of the temptations, all of the competing worldviews that are confronting us today. Our children need protection more than ever before. They need sound biblical training more than ever before. And so they need godly wisdom more than ever before to know how to navigate in this life. And we do too. This is not just about children today, but it's about the parents and about all of us as adults who would have anything to do with the nurture and admonition of children. So let's open God's Word to James chapter 1 to get us started. James chapter 1 verse 5 is what the verse in particular that I want us to look at. We're going to read verses 2 through 8, but in particular verse 5 is the verse that I want to focus on while we're here. And I'm going to ask you to turn all together to about six places. And let me just mention to you that to get the most out of this message, you will need to have your Bible turned to these places and to look at the Scripture that is there. It's not one of these messages where you can just sit back and depend upon me to read it to you. But I think it will be an extra blessing if you'll be prepared to turn. And we'll be done on time. I'm fairly certain that we'll be done on time this morning. And so you don't have to worry about that. But there's six locations. One of them is Proverbs. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs. And I have a number of things that we're going to look at just very quickly there in the book of Proverbs. The title of the message is Wisdom Needed. And to get us started, let's read verses 2 through 8. And it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Just as we get started, would you agree with me that we desperately need the wisdom of God in our lives? You know, what I find the older I get is that my wisdom is not sufficient. When I pray, I say, "Lord, give me wisdom. Give me your wisdom so that we can navigate in this world." We need it for everything that we do. Sometimes we tend to take this subject and we say, well, we need it for the important things. We need it if we have difficult decisions. We need it if we have an important decision or a major decision in our life. We need it to navigate in this world and to prepare our children for perilous times that lie ahead, and all of these kinds of things. But we forget that we actually need the wisdom of God for everything. If we're going to live correctly in this world, if we're going to live in a way that would be pleasing to God, if we're going to be effective in this life, we need His wisdom. But here's something that's more important than that. To be prepared for eternity, every person needs the wisdom of God. And we're going to talk about that in the message this morning. Now, you'll notice there in verse 4, it talks about the trials of life. Verse 2, it talks about the trials of life and the testing of our patience. And when we have that patience or that endurance to just go through the trials of life and let those trials teach us everything that we need to get out of them, we don't need to waste a trial. If you're going through a trial, a great prayer to pray as you go through that trial is, "Lord, teach me everything through this that you want me to learn, to prepare me for the future in my life and to make me more into the person that you want me to be." But that patience or that endurance is what perfects us or completes us. It's what makes us more mature as we go through this life. Lacking nothing, it says there at the end of verse 4. What God is wanting to accomplish in our lives is to give us everything that we need to live good Christian lives and to be in right relationship with Him without anything lacking. Lacking nothing, it says. And then it mentions in verse 5, and this is the key verse that we want to come to. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, several things about this. The word wisdom there is from the Greek word Sophia. And the Greek word Sophia is a word which just speaks about wisdom, skill for living, spiritual truth that is converted into practical living. We might put it in these terms. In our day, we would say something like this. It's connecting the dots between spiritual truth and living our lives the way that they should be lived. And what's really important? That's the question that wisdom answers. What is really important? Is it just the things of this life, or the things that are really important, are they eternal? And we know the answer to that question. You know, you see people today, a lot of people who are struggling in life. They go through their life and they try to get all the education they can get, and there's nothing wrong with education. I'm all for all good education, sound education, sound biblical education in particular. They go through life trying to have a career that is established. They're trying to save money. They're trying to buy a home. They're trying to do all of these things in life to be successful in this life. And there's all types of activity. There's all types of energy that is expended on those things. They put their whole heart into that, but they miss the things that are really important. Do you know people like that in your life? Is there somebody that you know that would be the description of their life? I think we all do. Sometimes it's people that are in our own families. But the Bible here is telling us that there's the wisdom of God that we need that goes beyond just the things of this life. It does include those things, but it's the things that are eternal that really matter. Now, some humility is required in this verse. You have to be willing to say, I lack wisdom. You come to God in prayer and say, Lord, I need your wisdom. I lack wisdom and I need your wisdom. I need it for all of these areas that we just talked about. But here's the good news from this verse. We can have it. As believers, as God's children, He's promised us that we can have that wisdom. If we have lived in a way that we lack wisdom, He's saying it's available to you. As one of my children, you can have that wisdom. And the promise is that it will be given to him. If we ask of God, it says, it will be given to us. You notice what it says there. It says, in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. If a child of God comes to God in prayer and says, Lord, I need your wisdom in my life. I need godly wisdom in my life. It says that He will give it to them without reproach. My old seminary professor, in fact, the president of Mid-America Baptist Seminary when I was there, was Dr. Gray Allison. And I heard him preach a message about this verse one time. And the way he said it was like this. He said, God will give it to you and He won't reproach you for asking. He won't fuss at you for asking for wisdom. God delights when His children come to Him with prayers like this. And so God has promised us here that we can have the wisdom that we need for this life. Now, how does God give us that wisdom? I'd like you to turn next to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And if you look in verse 16, or verse 18 as we go to this section of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And here we see the source of wisdom. And there's several places we're going to turn to look at this, the source of wisdom. Where does it come from? God said He'll give it to us. How does He do that? How does He give us His wisdom? Well, this entire section of Scripture that we look at here in Ephesians chapter 5, the whole section is really about wisdom. It's about how to have wisdom. If you go back up to verse 15, It says, see that you walk circumspectly, or to walk carefully, correctly. Not as fools, but as wise. So you see, the whole section here is that follows is about how to have this wisdom. That's in verse 15. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then we come to verse 18, and what does it say? It says, be not drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, or which is waste. Dissipation, if you just think of that word, if you've ever seen vapor or something, it just kind of comes up into the air and then it dissipates and it's gone. And it's talking about living your life in such a way that you're just wasting your life. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. And so if you connect it to what's just above there, if you're going to live a wise life, the very first thing that you have to do is be filled with the Spirit of God. And it goes on in the rest of chapter 5 and a good part of chapter 6 to talk about what that looks like. What does the Spirit-filled life actually look like as we live out that life in this world? If you want to come to a verse that would be appropriate for today, look in chapter 6, verse 4, just a page over probably in your Bible. And here it speaks specifically to fathers, but this would be to mothers and fathers and parents and grandparents. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training. The Old King James says the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That word nurture does mean training. It means to train children, to correct them, to discipline them. Chastisement is involved in the word. Admonition, there's another word that we probably need to make sure we understand what that says. It just means to call attention to what God has said. The admonition of God are the things that God admonishes us to do. And it could involve rebukes and warnings to our children. But it's all part of the Spirit-filled life. To carry out chapter 6, verse 4, we don't do that in our own strength and of ourselves, but it's the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. And so the way that God gives us wisdom is through His Spirit. But now, how does He do that? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to show you something here. Colossians chapter 3, and if you look in verse 16, and really this is a parallel section. This verse 16 in particular is parallel to what we just read in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, let your ears just hear this again. It says there in verse Ephesians 5 verse 18. It says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And it goes on in verse 19 to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Just remember that. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, come to Colossians chapter 3, and it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What does it say next? In all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you see that connection between what was in Ephesians? We've got to be filled with the Spirit, it says. And now here it's saying to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. I really think in the mind of the Apostle Paul, and I really think what God is telling us here, is those two things cannot be separated. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to take the Word of Christ and let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what gives a person wisdom. It's the Word of God applied to our lives by the Spirit of God. That's how God gives us His wisdom. You know, there are some people who just sort of ritualistically read their Bible. They're in a habit. It's nothing. A good thing to do, but they read a chapter a day, or they just read, and they don't get anything out of it. I've heard people say that I've read the Bible my whole life and I don't understand what it means. Well, the reason they don't is because they don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. We can't understand the Word of God apart from the Spirit of God. And it's when the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it in our lives that God gives us His wisdom. One way you can think about it is the Word of God is the raw material that the Holy Spirit uses to give us God's wisdom. Now, I want us to turn to the book of Proverbs, Old Testament. Proverbs, just start with chapter 1. We're going to do a little survey in just a minute. Proverbs is the book of the Bible that is called the Book of Wisdom. And the entire book, really, as you read through the entire book, there's a comparison and a contrast that's made between wisdom and folly. Over and over again throughout the book of Proverbs, it says, this is wisdom, this is folly. Or it says, this is folly, and this is wisdom. This person is a wise person, this person is a fool. This person is a fool, this is what a wise person says or does or thinks. You know, Solomon is the author of quite a few of the Proverbs. And you remember his story. God appeared to him and said, I'll give you anything you ask for. How would you like to have that blank check? What would you ask for? Solomon could have had anything he asked for. But he asked for wisdom. The Scripture tells us he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for honor, favor from men. He didn't ask for the life of his enemies. He didn't ask to have a long life. He asked for one thing. He asked for wisdom. And that's what you find in the book of Proverbs. Now, I want us just to do a quick survey. And if you'll turn quickly, we will go through about 10 or so verses here just very quickly that will show you the theme of the book of Proverbs. And I'm doing this for a reason that I'll tell you about in just a minute. Look in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Chapter 2, verse 6. Now moisten your fingers. You're going to need to be quick here. For the Lord gives wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. When you put it in the context of the whole Bible, what the Scripture is saying there is if you gain God's wisdom for your life through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you'll be happy. You know what happens a lot of times is people pursue happiness and they don't ever find it. They spend their whole life trying to find happiness, but they do it apart from God, and what they end up with is just absolute misery. But a person who will pursue godly wisdom from His Word and will make that the core of his life will find happiness. Happiness is not the main end. Happiness is a byproduct of living for God. And the truly happiest people that I know in this world are people who love God and serve God. There's a few miserable ones, but they're out of the will of God. If they'd get right with God, they'd be happy just like we are. Chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the main thing. You ever ask, what's the main thing? Well, here it is. It's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Again, it's talking about godly wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Turn over to chapter 11. And there's a lot of verses between where we just read and chapter 11. But if you look in chapter 11, verse 2, it says, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Chapter 13, verse 24. And we have to, like we said, there's some humility that's involved in coming to God and asking for His wisdom. Chapter 13, verse 24. Y'all are going faster than I am. It says, then the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. Chapter 19, verse 8. Got about three more here. Chapter 19, verse 8. And it says this, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. Chapter 24, verse 3. And I, you know, when I was preparing this, there were dozens and dozens that I just left out. I'm just giving you some of the highlights. This is like a highlight reel of what the Scripture says here about wisdom. It says in verse 3 of chapter 24, through wisdom a house is built. It's not talking about construction there, folks. It's talking about the construction of your life is what it's ultimately talking about. And by understanding, it is established. You might think of the home there as much as anything. And then chapter 29, look in verse 15. And this is really directly related to children. It says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And over in chapter 31, verse 26, and I'm just going to mention this just in passing, it says that the godly woman, the Proverbs 31 woman, it says wisdom comes from her mouth. On this verse that's here in chapter 29, verse 15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I would say a couple of things. First of all, what we've seen on our television screens just in the last week, what you're looking at when those people gather before the Supreme Court, or now they're even going to the houses of the justices and protesting and doing all of this kind of thing. These people are right out of that verse. They've had no training. They've had no nurture and admonition of the Lord in their lives. They've been left alone. You know, some parents, I've heard people say this before, well, I just kind of leave them alone and let them do let their life just be directed how they want to direct it. Well, that's what you get when you do that. If you leave people to their ungodliness, they'll live ungodly lives. They'll be a disgrace to their parents and all of that. I remember our youngest son, Michael, one time, we were up at Peach Creek. And at Peach Creek, the parsonage was right next to the church. And we'd been having a little problem with Michael. You'd never know it now if you met him, and it's probably because of what I'm about to tell you. But he had gotten into something to where he just wouldn't speak at church. He was 4 years old, and he would not speak to anyone in church. And people would speak to him, but he wouldn't speak back. And so we told him. We sat him down at home one day, and we said, son, you can't do that anymore. And if you do it anymore, it's going to mean a spanking. And so that next Sunday, we walked out of the house, walked down the sidewalk, and people started speaking to him, and he didn't say anything again. And Linda just grabbed him by his little arm and walked him right back over to the parsonage, and we followed through on what we had promised him. And I went on into the fellowship hall, and I was greeting and talking with people and just going on about my pastoral business at that point. He came through the door. When he walked back into that fellowship hall, you would have thought he was running for public office. He was taking the initiative to go to everybody and shake their hand. And he had had a real attitude adjustment. And so God's Word is true in people's lives. And I'll say this today, if you know Michael and have been around him, he is someone who wouldn't dare today not speak to someone that he knew if he knew they were there. I want to say something about the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has 31 chapters. There's a chapter there for each day of the month. Some of you have probably used this in your daily devotions. But you can read on the first day of the month, you can read Proverbs 1. And you read right through to the end of the chapter. If the month only has 30 days in it, you have to read 2 on that last day of the month. And you can just cycle through and through. If it's February, the last day of the month's tough. You got to read three or four at least of those Proverbs. Read through those chapters. We used to ask the men in our recovery programs that I was a part of. That was part of their assignment, was to read the proverb for that day. And so it was a 3-month program. So by the time that they graduated from the program, they would have read through the Proverbs 3 times. If they stayed for an additional 3 months, which some did, they would have read through Proverbs 6 times. And I just want to tell you from my experience with that, the ones that would do it, God's Word made an impact on their lives. Many of them had just come to know the Lord. They had no real maturity in the wisdom of the Lord, but by reading the Proverbs, it made a great impact on their lives. And it's great for any parent. It's great for all of us and our children to get them started at an early age, as soon as they can read, to get them started reading the Proverbs. I was looking at a list of the topics that come up in the book of Proverbs. Let me just go through these quickly. Anger. Just listen to this list. Anger, conflict, how to handle conflict, diligence, how to be diligent in life, discernment, discipline, drunkenness, fear of the Lord, greed, happiness, honesty, humility, integrity, justice, kindness, knowledge, laziness, life, love, lying, marriage, money. If we want our children to be good with money, and if we want to be good with money, there's plenty of advice about how that happens in the book of Proverbs. Patience, peace, pride, prosperity, purity, righteousness, self-control, the sovereignty of God, sowing and reaping, speech, temptation, violence, wrath, and wickedness. Many, many other topics. That's just, again, just the highlights. In particular for children, there's a number of things just by reading the Proverbs that they would gain wisdom for their life, and that we all would gain this wisdom by reading the Proverbs. The fear of God is a prominent theme in the book of Proverbs. Guarding our minds, being on guard in our minds, obeying parents, selecting friends. How important that is in the age in which we live, that our children choose the right friends. If they don't have any training in that, they're just going to go out and fall in with the first group that comes along, and it could be the ruin of their life to do that. How to subdue desires. How to be faithful in marriage. How to watch their words. How to work hard. How to manage money, as we've said, and how to serve others. These are all topics in the book of Proverbs. And I want to just recommend it to you. If you're not reading in the Proverbs and you want the wisdom of God, first of all, ask for it. Ask God to give it to you. But you have to begin to saturate your mind and your heart with the wisdom of God. All of the Bible is about the wisdom of God. But in particular, the book of Proverbs is just loaded with those things. Now, I want us to turn to Psalm 127. We've got just two other chapters to look at. Psalm 127. Almost done here. Stay with me another few minutes. Psalm 127 is one of the Psalms of Ascent. It's a song of ascents, actually, is the correct way to say that. And this particular psalm is by Solomon. The Psalms of Ascents, by the way, is something that we're going to study this summer in our summer study. There are 15 of these altogether, starting in chapter 120 of Psalms and going all the way through chapter 134. But here in Psalm 127, I think is something that when we think about parenting, when we think about living with godly wisdom, this is a key chapter that you come to. And it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late." Have you ever sat up late worrying about your children? Worrying about your grandchildren? It's vain, it's vanity to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. And then it says there in verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Folks, let me just summarize this entire psalm by saying this. It's saying that we can do all that we can do. We can do everything that we know to do, but we're absolutely dependent on God beyond what we do. We're dependent upon Him. Warren Wiersbe said this. He said, "We must work as if it all depends on us, but all the while realizing that we are completely dependent on God for everything, that He will do what we cannot." And so our dependence upon God, we need His wisdom. We need to apply His wisdom. We do need to work hard at everything that we do. But at the end of the day, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And then finally turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to close out with this. This will be the last place. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here we see saving wisdom. We saw the source of wisdom and all of that, but here is saving wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 18. It says this. It says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Down in verse 25. It says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then down in verse 30, it says, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus." And it's speaking here of Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Would you listen to me for just one more minute, and I'll tell you what I understand from this verse 30. That when you look to Jesus, you are looking at the very embodiment of the wisdom of God. People today in their own wisdom, they say, here's how you can be saved. You can do good. You can be religious. You can keep the commandments. You can do all of these things. You can join a church. You can go through the rituals of the church. And man in his wisdom looks to all of those things. But God's wisdom is the only wisdom that will save you. And God says, my wisdom is found in my Son, Jesus Christ. And you can only be in relationship with me. And you can only have the wisdom that I offer to you through my Son, Jesus Christ. And if you reject Jesus, you reject the only hope for true wisdom that you'll ever have. And I would say this, the wisest thing that any person could ever do, ever, is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender their life to Him and seek the wisdom of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. We want to have a closing hymn.